Welcome to Healing Voices Project, where we share stories of addiction, grief, recovery, and courage. And also from people who work every day in the field of substance abuse who discuss their experiences and advice. I'm Mike Torville, your host. Thank you all for joining us. All right. Thanks, everybody, for sticking with us at Healing Voices Project. And we have another guest, a reoccurring guest, actually. His name is Adam Bartlett from the Michael J. Diaz Foundation. Adam has such a great story. And there's so much to what he's been through, so much that he's overcome. And I always think it's worth sharing. And I've told a lot of people about Adam's story and to listen to it on the Healing Voices Project website, and it's easy to find. But so it's always worth revisiting with you, Adam. Thanks for coming on again.
Thanks for having me.
And I know we'll do a sort of a short version, because I think your entire story is worth every minute of listening to it, because you've got a real inspirational story there. But for the people who haven't heard your story before, if you want to give a shorter version of what it is, and hopefully that'll lead people to hear more about your full story. So you want to start from the beginning and where you were a few years back as a police officer and how things evolved?
Sure. Thanks again, Mike, for having me again. I really appreciate this. Yes, I was a police officer, and I was a police officer for 10 years. It's funny you talk about this. I actually always had this love for alcohol. It seems weird when people say it, but I actually fell in love with alcohol. And when I became a police officer, I was injured on the job, and I was introduced to opiates to manage my pain. And I found a new love. I fell in love with the opiates as well, and my brain just couldn't shut it off. I went from taking my prescriptions as prescribed to getting more and more, to constantly calling my doctor and trying different variations, from Percocet, to Vicodin, to Tramadol, to whatever I could mix it with. And in the beginning, I could function to the point, you know, it got to the point where I couldn't function anymore. I just couldn't hold it together. I was not paying bills, doing things I was supposed to, showing up for my daughter, and being the man that I was supposed to be. It just all stopped because this disease took me over. And I didn't realize until I lost my career. And ultimately, I ended up robbing a pharmacy. You know, it led to me living in a hotel room with no money, no alcohol, no drugs. And I was so sick that my first thought was, I'm going to go steal from a pharmacy. And that's what I did. I ended up getting arrested, which was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I went to jail. And, you know, I learned a lesson. A big thing for me was that I'm no better than everybody else. You know, I am not above this disease. It was right there the whole time. It took me down, just like it takes everybody else down. Mm-hmm. So I went to jail and I did my time. And I found this fellowship, and I found these wonderful halfway houses and programs that I went through. And it turned my life around, ultimately leading me to the Michael J. Diaz Foundation and actually being a resident at Michael's house for a while and seeing the love that they offered there. And it was just, it brought me to my knees pretty much. It made me realize how much people actually care about people like us in addiction. And I ended up getting hired here for a job years later as the director. And then I got promoted to director of operations. So I oversee 3 houses now. You know, I always thought my calling was to be a police officer, and that was just part of my story. And now the other part of my story is to help other men just like me suffering from this disease of addiction. And that's ultimately where it turns out, you know.
You told me, well, let's put it in your words, because I don't want to put your words in your mouth, that what was the reason you decided to be a police officer back so long ago?
It was my brother. I mean, my brother showed up one day, because he was a part-time police officer, and he showed up one day driving his police car and in his uniform. And when I saw him, I was like, wow, it was just, I was so proud of him. And it was like, this is what I want to do. I love helping people. Why would I not want to get into a field where I could help people daily? Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to help people on a daily basis, and you lost that career. But now you're doing it in an entirely different way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Helping other men just like me.
Right. And you're helping people in ways that you never could have imagined. And I'm sure your early days of a police officer, you certainly didn't see yourself under the throes of addiction.
No, not at all. I mean, I never knew I had an issue until I actually was arrested and I was introduced to this fellowship and started realizing I have a problem and it needs to be taken care of.
Yeah. You know, Adam, I don't think I've asked you this before, but let's just take a look at your perception of people under addiction. When you were a police officer, before you experienced your own addiction, did you have a different perspective of people who are addicted than you do now?
Absolutely. My view was skewed, but it's funny you say that because part of my story when I speak about it is I would go to calls for overdoses and go to, you know, drunk driving, you know, arrest people for drunk driving. And I would always say to myself, how can't these people hold it together? You know, I knew I was doing my thing on the side, but I got a career. I have a house. I have all these things. But again, little did I know what was coming after that.
And now you have, it's changed because now I would think if you stepped into a police officer's uniform tomorrow, you'd have maybe a different way of looking at that or handling it.
Oh, absolutely. I would be willing to offer more help because I would absolutely be able to identify them.
Yeah. And I think that's an empathy that a lot of people don't know because they haven't experienced it. And I think certainly that changes your whole, I won't say attitude, but your whole perception. Having been through it, then being distant from it and apart and detached from it all. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I know you've got a lot, and I know we got into the details of how things evolve with you on the podcast. And I would encourage people again to go into the website, Healing Voices Project, find Adam's episode. And I think a lot of people in general, but even law enforcement people who may be in the same situation as you were and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I ought to take a closer look at this. Maybe I ought to take a closer look at what I'm doing or how I interact with people under
absolutely
going through this and through recovery. So, well, it's always good having you. And I know we're going to have you back as a full episode again.
okay.
I just know that. And of course, we're always going to support the Michael J. Diaz Foundation. So appreciate you coming on. And again, if anybody's interested in learning more, Michael J. Diaz Foundation is mdiazfoundation.org. Well, Adam, thanks again. Appreciate having you. And we'll be talking real soon.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me.
All right. See you later.
Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.